Evacuation procedure, I think everybody here knows their way out in the emergency proceedings, so I don't need to go into that. Apologies for absence. I will add to that list later, but I have at the present got Janet Frank, Janet Sanderson and Jim Bailey. Anybody know of anybody else not coming? Fine. Move on to item three on the agenda. Presentation on HR services of North Yorkshire County Council. And modesty aside, modesty, yes, I don't often do modesty, Jeff, but this is the one occasion that I'm going to do it. This was my suggestion because on North Yorkshire, HR gave not only the impression, but did run incredibly smoothly. And I was fortunate enough to, before the good burghers of Pickering saw the light, two of them did, yes. I had the good fortune to work for several years with Justine on a working party on there that met three times a year. And the services that the councillors there got from HR, as HR from North Yorkshire is going to be taking over, I have the view that we'd like some of that. And on that basis, I've asked Justine to come along tonight to tell us the sort of things that could be done, can be done, and also to ask from us what we would like HR to deliver to Rydell. Justine, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I think I've had such a nice build-up for a long time, John, so I shall try to make the best of that. So in terms of, I hope I'm pitching this right, in terms of attending scrutiny, and thank you for inviting me, I wanted to suggest some of the information on workforce data that you might be interested in, that you might want to have reported to you, and also perhaps in delivering a HR service to the council and to service scrutiny to find out what it is that you would be interested in. So clearly scrutiny has a very important function. It is hopefully not trite to say your workforce is your best asset. And you are no doubt interested in a whole range of things about your workforce. As we're now delivering your payroll and HR system and HR service, then we are able to provide you with a whole host of information and data. It's clearly important that it's what you want and that you it's of value to you in showing you a number of things that you want to look at. I will qualify that by saying we've obviously just started delivering the service, so I can't provide you with trend analysis on things like turnover or absence data. I can only provide a baseline from here and now, and obviously as we move forward I can provide trend analysis on a quarterly basis and comparisons with other authorities or the relevant size district councils, etc. So if I just quickly, because I'm sure you've got a busy agenda, moved through some points from myself in terms of the data that we can provide and then the question of are you interested in any of that? What else might you be interested in? So in theory, I can provide anything that's in the pay and HR system, which is a kind of as of now. Again, I can't provide you with historic information, but anything that's in there, such as numbers and that staffing numbers broken down by headcount, FTE type of staff, be it part-time, be it permanent or relief, ultimately, trend analysis in terms of change of numbers, change of workforce composition, anything in terms of spend on workforce, on pay and allowances, and I've given some examples there of things that you might want to have reported on a regular basis. I provide to scrutiny at the County Council a 6-monthly report on workforce composition and performance in a range of different metrics and information. Moving on, there might be workforce changes. You can be provided with information on what those are. You might, for example, want to be clear on what your age profile is in the workforce and what your likely retirement profile is, because you might be concerned that in some areas you're going to have a gap, a workforce gap. There might be areas that you struggle to recruit to that you would worry if they were over a certain, that workforce in that particular hard-to-fill area were over a certain age, for example. So those might be the kind of things that you would be interested in. Turnover data, leave data, absence data, particularly sickness absence by reason, whether it's short-term, whether it's long-term, recruitment, areas where you've got vacancies that you're struggling to fill, areas where you've got new starters, how long those new starters stay. In the County Council, we have interest analysis by service area in terms of new starters and how long new starters stay. And we find that, for example, in the care workforce, if we can, if staff stay over 8 or 9 months, they're likely to stay 2 years. And we can see on trend analysis that there are kind of points where you've got kind of clusters of leavers at time frames, and that's something that is obviously of interest. So workforce composition, anything that's in the system can be provided. Age profile, which, as I say, you might be interested in. Part-time, full-time split, gender split, ethnicity. Other information, recruitment campaigns, the whole data on recruitment, any agency or interim information, spend and take-up of training and development, are staff been developed, what are the training opportunities, is that been well used, what's the spend on training, and then we can benchmark that with other districts locally and nationally in terms of key metrics. There's a lot of data that local authorities provide nationally to the LGA and other bodies, and there's a district council network which will have a lot of data. So we can benchmark that and say, okay, you know, maybe you've got a higher turnover or your sickness absence is lower than your average district council. That might be something you're interested in. You might be interested in other things. The gender pay gap got a lot of press coverage. You might be interested in how you were doing on that relative to other district councils. You might be interested in knowing how that's, any actions progressing against that. You might be interested in terms of workforce performance management, that the majority of your workforce have an appraisal. As I say, spend and uptake of training and development, anything on staff engagement, what the succession planning arrangements are, especially in areas where you might struggle to recruit, and given a particular age profile, as I mentioned. So that's a whistle-stop tour, I guess, of what is in the system, albeit not on a historic trend analysis, and some thoughts from me on things you might be interested in. But to some extent, I'm at your disposal, and it's you know, if there are other things from a workforce composition and workforce issues that you're interested in, then you know, we can talk about that. Is that okay?
Thank you. I think my immediate response to hearing all that is that we have been in the unfortunate position of having one HR person for the last so many years, and on that basis we probably don't know the answers to the questions because we don't know what the questions are, you know. And it's, we've got a concept from just picking up the summary of last night's discussion that we've cut the workforce, we may have cut the workforce too much, but we don't know what services have cut or not cut in relation to it. And we do know that the salaries over the last 12 months have spent massively less than what the budget was. So there's a whole string of big questions there as to where it will go and what will happen. But the things that I picked up out of what you've just said was clusters of levers, because I have no idea here whether people stay in planning, or if they leave planning, do they leave between 1 and 2 years because they haven't got promotion, or do they leave in under a year because they don't like here, whatever. And there may be no clusters. And training, again, I suspect our training budget isn't high enough in relation to what you need, because if you want to keep people and promote them, you need to be able to have training. And I haven't personally, none of anybody else has, I have absolutely no clue on what our training budget is at all.
Some of those issues you've identified there, we won't, because the system only has, yeah, will only have information, yeah, in from last month.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't be able to provide. However, I mean, if it's helpful, we can provide, and it would probably, you know, Andrew Ellis is your head of HR coming in presenting that to you, but we can provide a baseline on workforce composition and some of that, yeah, quantitative and qualitative data, and say, is this helpful? And then we can quarter on quarter start to provide the trend analysis on that. But you have to agree what baseline you want first in terms of the metrics and information that you're interested in. And then we can start to build that up, and then you'll be able to see the trend analysis and whether you do have problems with vacancies in a particular area, or, you know, whether your absence is higher in one area than another. So it would be about presenting that in terms of this is the data set you can have, and then just starting to fill that in. And we would normally provide that on a... We would normally fill that in on a quarter-by-quarter basis to start picking up the trend analysis. You won't really be able to see any proper trends, yeah, really, for about 18 months, 2 years. Yeah. For some aspects, longer. But you could then say, OK, that looks right. Give us the... You know, come and do that. And we could do that every 6 months, every year. It's kind of up to yourselves, really. Does that sound like a reasonable start of a
term? Yeah, I think it's got to be a build and see what we've got. Like, if anybody's at the absolute back wanting to ask questions, please do, but you'll have to wave very clearly. Robert?
Do you do HR or any other North Yorkshire District Council?
No, we don't. We do provide payroll for other, so in providing payroll, we will provide management information. Some of the things I'm talking about, we can report onto that council. But because we don't provide the HR, I wouldn't report it to scrutiny in the way that I'm suggesting you might be interested in. Yeah.
So you can't compare us with other districts?
Yes, and there is actually a lot of information already held across the board on all councils. I could here and now find out what the average district turnover was, sickness was. There's already a lot of metrics on that I can provide as comparator data. What I don't have is the clear position for yourself from 1 month's worth of data.
Yeah. John?
Thank you, John. About 10 years ago, we had 5 years of staff in HR. Chairman, that York City Council had a very good advert on social media only today, seeking for two tanners to come forward to do the mundane, ordinary, local development processing of plans for York City. But there are a shortage of that particular genre in the country at the moment, so to find somebody to fill our both from within, I think it's a way forward. If we can look at a programme for that, would be useful. That's a very useful bit, I think.
And some comments back on that. Planning is a real difficulty across the country. Apparently there is a national, if not international, shortage of planners. So you're right. I suppose what I think the data would give you, you know that, we all know that. If you look at that in terms of kind of more subtle analysis on other staff groups, you can have a picture across your council that says these are our kind of very hard to fill areas. We know there's a national shortage of those. We've got an age profile that looks like this. You know, what is it we're going to do about it? And it might be that you mentioned York. Actually, we provide strategic HR for York and most of the recruitment service. It might be that actually we have a local campaign about planners that we join up. It might be that we join up and say, what about an apprentice programme? You know, I haven't got the silver bullet on planners because it's actually a really difficult one. But there are a range of, if you know exactly what, you know, what the problem is across the workforce, and you can see where your hotspots are and where your difficulties are, and you can look at whether you need to internally promote and look at succession planning and a different way of doing it, or whether you are absolutely reliant on the market, you need to think about how you can possibly do that in the future. So, but on some of those areas, you're absolutely right, it's really difficult. And this isn't going to give you the answer.
Yes.
Sorry, if I can just come back on that. I think that's a good point. I would say lots of councils do different things around that, and a lot of councils already do that. You know, I know that the county council does that in a range of areas. I know that other district councils do that. I know York City does that. And again, that might be an area that, because it's clearly a problem that scrutiny want to be interested in, they want to report back on, okay, where are our recruitment hotspots? We know that these are problem areas. Tell us what the current workforce is like. Tell us what the age profile is. Tell us what other authorities do about this. You know, come back with a range of thoughts and comparators on how we might address this difficult problem. You know, like I said, there might not be a silver bullet in there, but that might be a piece of work that you are interested in and that you want the data on that. You want some comparator work done. And you want to know, you know, on that point, where are the local universities that that provide planners? What do other authorities do to attract planners? Do they have degree apprentices? Do they link with local universities and provide bursaries and sponsorship, etc.? So it might be that in terms of your issue being recruitment, scrutiny are interested in where the hot spots and real difficulties are in recruitment, and what approaches can be taken.
Thanks. Well,
yeah. If I could, a couple of observations and a couple of questions. I think they flow from each other. I mean, basically, what I think you're saying is we have to define what we want.
Yes.
I can tell you, we, as members of this council, have to tell you what it is that we want.
Ultimately, yes. I'm happy to make some suggestions, but it is for you. No, this is yes, from my view, this information is already in the systems. Providing the HR service to yourselves, and you know, I'd view it as a partnership, is something that we can do, and that's not a problem.
And very much, just a very much
Yes, I would. My view on that is managers manage their staff. HR is there to provide professional advice and support, and has a wider role across the council to add value in terms of providing information and data and suggestions and support wherever it's needed.
Would it be possible, is it possible, to actually put, if you like, the raw data for Rydale District Counselling and say which of these other councils fits closest to Rydale in terms of its size, its population, the general, the simple stuff, and say, well, actually, that's not a bad comparison, that's from where we could start. Is that, I'm thinking about use of the families to build
it is, and you know, I would. Suggest that there would be a number that would be about your size that would look quite similar, and be suggesting that they're like a family of relevant comparator ones, and that they're used for comparator data. Yes, that's right, and it might be those that you'd find, well, you'd want to look at those in terms of your metrics and how you compared on things, and you might want to find out if a couple of them seemed a lot to be doing better on things like turnover or recruitment of planners. Well, what are they doing? And yes, so it's the benchmark data's there.
I see no shift. I think you've drawn all the questions you're going to get, but I wasn't expecting masses of questions because we're all going, now what? And I think as things settle in, we will find the answers to the questions that you've set here. And I think we ought to commit ourselves as a committee to go through this and talk to HR here as to what about that happening and can we do that and would it be a good idea if. And I think there are things, and it's a bit coming back to John's point about recruitment and planners and whatever. It's going to be far better than expecting one person in here to have been the expert on all these fields at once without the backup picture. And it's going to be easier to look at, and let's just sell planners here for a second. Wouldn't it be nice to live near a national park in terms of recruitment? Rydale has got its own local plan. Don't know whether York has now, but a year or so ago, York hadn't got a local plan in the last 25 years or whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to, and the other advantages of Rydale, now HR brackets recruitment is probably going to be better than here's planning department or one person in HR. You've got a broader sustainability to give you ideas and professional backing to increase the chance of it. The other thing is attitude and approach. People come to work for somewhere that is positive. And this is the first positive I have heard here. I don't know, Robert, David, you'll go back. But when did we ever listen to anybody in a committee meeting connected to HR? 10 years ago? Longer than that. Now, that message gets across through recruitment and or whatever else, because if you're applying for a job as a planner or a chief executive or anything else at Rydale, you listen to the committee meetings. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I haven't heard anything on planning, or I haven't heard anything on HR, or I haven't heard anything on whatever, and I've got a feeling that here is going to have a change in attitude and approach and become more positive, and if it does all that lot, then recruitment will be easier because people like to join a positive team. And I have been for some time thinking of Justine's phrase that's been irritating me for a long time, and that was, there is no I in the word team. But my response to that, and it's only taken me about 3 months to work this out, is there's no I in team, but there is in leadership. I will leave you with that. I will leave you with that thought. Quick repartee, 3 months plus, is not good going. Justine, thank you ever
thank
so
you.
Much.
I'm not going to attempt to respond to that, John, but I will just because I just like to have actions to take away. If it's helpful, I can provide the kind of what I think would be useful as a template on your workforce composition and data and your list of half a dozen relevant comparator councils. You can have a look at that as a start of the 10 and tell me if there's something else you want. Is that okay?
I think that would be is brilliant, and I think trying to decide too quickly when we're at the beginning of a journey.
You can tweak it, as time moves on, you can tweak it and amend it and ask for other things.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Brilliant. No, thank you ever so much. That's been very, very useful and motivational. Yeah. Pardon? I think that's pushing it, Ed. Do I want to go back to what? The voting screen, yeah. Any chance of a little more light over here, or is that asking? Oh, Councillor Wainwright is the light expert. I should have asked him to. Yeah, no, Councillor Wainwright is the expert on lights in this room. Sorry? Good evening. You haven't forgotten yet.
This morning you might forget.
Ah.
I'm sure I'll get told.
I'll send Becky round to sort it out. Well, it's well after 5:30. I don't think there's any point in waiting for anybody else. So we're now on to item 4, minutes of the meeting held on the 25th of July. Can I sign those as a true record? Any comments, amendments, etc.? No. Those in favour, or those against, or can we please vote? How many of us is there? Let's do that count. 1, 2, 5. So once I've got 5 little colours up, though, everybody's finished. Lovely. That's unanimous. Should be 6. Oh, hang on, there should be 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Robert, sorry.
No, Robert is an honoured guest.
Sorry.
Right, all right. Yes. Yes. Well, you're the only one that's at the table, and, you know, I'm more than delighted if anybody else who wants to come up to the table. Yes, quite, Robert. You may not like what you hear, but at least you can hear it. Yeah. Right. Minutes of the meeting. Urgent business. As of now, I have no items of urgent business. Is anybody else anything that's urgent that's not on the agenda? No. Declarations of interest. Has anybody any declarations of interest? No. This is where I always think I'm getting through the agenda very quickly. Report by everyone active on the 2017-18 delivery of the leisure contract for Rydale District Council. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Can we hear your words of wisdom?
I hope so. Good evening, everybody. We've put a short presentation together. It's based on the report that has been sent out, and hopefully presentation is in the same order as the report. So, just to introduce myself, Martin Miles, I'm the area manager for Everyone Active, and to my left is Kev Murray, who is the contract manager.
Yeah. Sorry, Martin, I should have introduced you.
That's okay, it's no problem. We've got a double act today, so Kev will start.
Okay, good evening, thanks for your time.
Just before you kick, have you got copies of these, so that those who aren't here or whatever, have you got copies of the slides? Or could we have
yes,
them later?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, you've got them, lovely. Yeah. That's fine, thank you.
So just to start off, it was just a little update on maintenance and some of the improvements we've been making on site in the last year. We've done quite a bit at Derwent Swimming and Fitness, so we've looked at the colleagues' areas, things like where we're training. We struggle for space at Derwent, so we've redeveloped the colleague room in the rear, and we've made a usable training space for things like lifeguard training, matrix training, private meetings and colleague development meetings. So that's gone down well with the colleagues. We've also looked at the duty manager space where they're working and put some fixed workstations in there, and it's had, you know, it's quite a big significant impact on productivity and just general well-being for the staff. Rydale, we've done a few other bits quite similar, manager's offices, colleague areas, things like that, new kitchen units, we've had some new equipment, so a couple of treadmills have been replaced, various other little small package items. We've just had a lot done, but it's in this financial year. It'll be an 18-19 report, but maintenance as a whole, it's been underpinned by a technical manager. We've got a technical manager now that's has joined the team from Redcar, so we've got a team of three now that come into the contract and pick up small package items, which we use an asset management system called WAM. So anything that's, you know, shelf missing or small damage, something that he's painting, things like that, goes on this asset management system, and the technical team from Redcar pick that up for us, so they come in hopefully a reasonable time frame and maintain it. Everything else is on national contracts. That's about it for maintenance, really. And probably the big achievements we've achieved, ISO 14001 again as a quality benchmark for how we manage energy and maintenance. Any questions on that?
We can take questions as we go or at the end, either or. The next part, which is part three, talks about attendance. These are the attendance figures for 17-18. And I've split them out there. Rydale Swim and Fitness Centre, by far the busiest facility, but you would probably expect that because it has got the biggest gym area and fitness area. Both pools are the same size. Derwent still continues to be a well-used facility. And Rydale Sports Centre, as you'd expect, we only have use of that at evenings and weekends, and therefore the attendance figures are slightly lower, although we have got a new artificial pitch up there, which we are hoping will improve attendance figures as we go. Last year we had a high of 240,000 attendances. We have fallen this year down to 212. We have seen an increase already this year, but as probably everyone is well aware in the room, we have had some issues over swimming lessons, and obviously some negative press over the last 12 months. And I think that has had a slight impact, but you'll see when we come to talk about our future priorities and re-engagement with the community, then we hope to make some improvements from there. Training and development, comprehensive training and development package that we have for the colleagues that work on the facilities. Without those, then it's very difficult to achieve anything. But I think probably really want to highlight the apprenticeship programme. Very, very strong apprenticeship programme, a key part of what we try to achieve, not just in Rydale, but with all our facilities. Over the last year, we've had 5 apprentices that are now employed within the business. I think that's the key thing, that once they've done their 12-month apprenticeship programme, it's the offer of employment, which is the most important thing at the end of that. It's an ongoing apprenticeship programme, so we're currently recruiting for further apprentices to work across those 2 facilities. It's underpinned by an external training organisation called Lifetime, and then it's also managed internally with our internal training structures as well, and mentoring by the managers on the facilities and sites. For apprenticeships, I think it's great for us to be able to get young people into the business at an early age, and it is the type of industry, I suppose, that if you work hard, that you can earn a decent wage and have quite an exciting career.
Yep. Sorry, yep. That figure,
yes,
5 apprentices, is that the company or is that this area?
Oh no, that's just this contract in Rydale. Okay. Yep.
Accident rates per 10,000 visits are again very positive this year. The numbers have reduced at 2 of the sites, Rydale Summer Fitness and Derwent Summer Fitness. We did introduce an accident reduction strategy mainly on slips, trips and falls last year, which was very successful. The huge increase at Rydale Sports Centre is primarily down to a new introduced activity, which is roller skating. And where we introduce roller skating, we have more accidents. It's often a point that people raise because obviously the figures do show that it's a significant increase, but again, we're working to reduce this. It's slightly above the benchmark of the 5 per 10,000, but it's not uncommon to have a level of 10, 12, up to 15 where you've got roller skating in a site. So the 2.6 to 2.3 and the 2.6 to 1.9 are good achievements, really. So 5 is the national benchmark for accidents, and it's well below that, and it's improving year on year.
It's not a reason not to do roller skating.
It's good fun.
It's not a reason not to do roller skating. So unfortunately, yeah, Rydale being sports centre being a small facility, and the number of those users being quite high, has bumped that figure up. I think any time you introduce a new activity, there is an element. You'll have obviously your risk assessment in place first of all. We've run roller skating before. It's not new, is it? I was roller skating when I was younger. But I think the thing that brings these accident figures down is that after each accident, they are then marked on the sports hall floor of where the accident happened, and also then the type of injury, and also the time of day, etc., and the age. So once we've mapped all that, that gives us some further information. So if they're happening in one part of the sports hall, then we need to look at why that is. Is it the floor surface? Is there a turn that's too sharp, etc.? So that will automatically bring these accidents down. How far they're going to go down to, I'd like to get them down to nearer 5, but if you come back next year, we'll see where we've got to.
Just one comment on the accidents. Last year there was an appendix that wasn't there, and this year I looked at the accident things and it said appendix 3, and this year all the figures are there but it's not labelled as appendix 3, so I was going, oh no, not again. It is there, but the 3 is missing off it to show that it is appendix 3, but all the accident figures are there.
Chair, I think next year then, I reckon we'll be there. We'll get it labelled Appendix 3.
Or Appendix 3 in a blank sheet, and that would be a full set.
We'll try our best.
Yeah. No, yeah. I went, oh, no, not again. And then went, ah, watch this. And then I thought, that's it. And it was crammed between appendix one and appendix and appendix two and four. So I thought, ah, it is appendix.
It's definitely
three.
There.
Yeah.
Customer feedback, clearly extremely important. There's a list of customer feedback in appendix, must be four, we hope. So I think so the positive ones is that we operate a group exercise program, Rydale Sports Centre. Obviously, Derwent Swim and Fitness Centre and Rydale Swim and Fitness Centre, there's no activity space, I would call it, to do it, group exercise. That has gone down very well at the Sports Centre. On a Wednesday afternoon, we've introduced an active kids club up at the sports centre again. That's gone down very well. And we've also received positive comments regarding the colleagues as well. The negatives, even more important than the positives, there's been some negative comments regarding the website and online booking due to a change the company made in the way that those operated. Those now have been addressed by our head office team and now run much better. And the app that we've got for bookings runs a lot is a lot better. There's some cleanliness issues at Rydale Summer Fitness Centre, which we've been working very hard to resolve. And we had some negative comments at the sports centre on the pitch, Lady Lumley's artificial pitch. This is before it got changed because this report's 2017-2018. So that resolves that one. I think... We've got a robust system for dealing with customer complaints, and as you're probably all well aware, as elected members, they come in all shapes and sizes via Facebook, Twitter, email in, telephone call, occasionally a letter, but we don't get many of those anymore. It's normally a bit more immediate, or telephone calls. So we try to react as quickly as possible as those, and the company also has now a single customer view system whereby they're all logged. And they all need to be answered and respond to within 48 hours, which is a bit of a change. Used to be 7 days, so we're 48 hours response.
Any is that your aim of 48 hours?
Yeah, that's our aim, 48 hours, yeah. And then for any more complicated complaints, because not everything can necessarily be resolved in 48 hours, then at least it's an acknowledgement, and if it so require, a meeting with the manager and a cup of coffee to try and get these resolved. Is ultimately the best way to try and get to get the resolution, I think.
You said there, that just confused me a little bit, but it gave answer to a question I had. You said this report was earlier. Was this report written back in time a little bit then?
So this report takes us to 31st of March this year, and the artificial pitch wasn't done until summer, wasn't it?
The artificial pitch
has now been done.
Prediction of July will not come into having been done whenever it was done.
Yes, so but these complaints were before the pitch was done, not since they've been done. We'd be disappointed if we had complaints after it's been done.
Well, yes, but I was just meant the timing of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So although we're getting this report in October, it is up until the end of March.
Correct.
Why there then, just following that logic, rather than start it all again, would it be better another year if we moved this earlier in the year, or is this the earliest for you to get to?
We're at your beck and call. We'll come and present any time on
I'm
any
not
time period.
I daren't to commit the officers to a change of dates, but it does strike me that if you're all this lot is up to the end of March, having a meeting in October to look
through
the report up to October does look a little late, and maybe the council could move its act a little bit to...
More than happy to do that.
That would be fitting with you, would it?
Right. It doesn't matter from our point of view at all.
No, that's useful. And then it would stop people reading saying, what? When?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Definitely starting to see some increasing figures. I think due to the timing, obviously summer holidays when people aren't as active, it's likely that it's remained quiet for that reason. We have took on a lot of new bookings and there's a lot of people testing it. We did a month's worth of discounting for people to come and have a go and see. I think it has been in poor state repair for a long period of time, so it's going to it's obviously took a bit of a knock on reputation, and there's some other fantastic facilities locally as well. But we have had an increase, a healthy increase. I think by the end of October, we'll probably know where we are. You know, all the football teams are back training again, want somewhere to train on something that's reliable during winter when the bad weather kicks in. So I think probably won't know for another month, but at the minute, the early warning signs, it's a lot healthier than it was. It's just going to be a bit difficult. We need to try and entice some more people from wherever they're playing at the minute. But a lot of that's linked to the sports development plan to try and engage that pitch. That's one of our primary sort of focuses, to try and, again, really make it busier. And linked to the development plan that was on for that, it's great. You know, we do try and entice regional competitions, national competitions. A lot of it's down to location. So we've done some deals with other clubs, football clubs and things like that. But I mean, Scarborough Athletics, for instance, we do a lot of work with them, and they train over in Tadcaster. We've tried to get them to come and use that pitch because of the location of their players. It would fit quite nicely, but we've not been able to manage to secure them just yet. But we keep trying.
What's the reaction of those who've used it? I mean, that's
very good. Yeah,
the marketing thing you're talking now, but the customer satisfaction, how's that doing?
Well, I think the thing to remember is it's sandrest. It's not 3G, so it's a sandrest artificial pitch. It's slightly different to whatever else it is, and because it's multi-use for hockey and other things, it's not just a football pitch. It's not just a hockey pitch.
Yeah.
So it's a surface that we can be flexible with.
Yeah.
And I think obviously with the link with the school, we've got a really good relationship with the school, and you know they're using it significantly for hockey and things like that. But a lot of input on the lines, how we've lined it, so it's definitely suitable for everything, which gives us flexibility to take any booking really.
Yeah.
Which is what we'd probably prefer for a situation like that. We wouldn't want just football or just...
Yes, that's what I think we discussed that last year.
The flexibility was really important.
Don't go too narrow, because you may become wonderfully liked but not have enough business coming through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've got that ability. We've got all the goals, all the equipment, everything's been provided. The company's a very reputable company. We've done a research on that as well. It's a company we use as well elsewhere and other areas. So I think it just needs a bit of a time, a bit of a month or so to push when the weather kicks in. We'll see what, you know, if we're competitive or not. We believe we are. The pricing's, we've done loads of research on the pricing. We believe the pricing's competitive for what it is. It just needs a bit of a push, and probably be able to review it end of October and provide some data to the members.
So, Joy?
Yeah. I know when they
all together.
Off the top of my head, I won't be able to confirm that. I've not got the list in front of me on MRM, but we have had some interest from the hockey teams. I think the hockey primarily is for the school. The school wanted it for hockey during the day. I think they're very successful with the hockey that they do, and I think they're quite serious in the regional sort of levels where they do play hockey. We definitely had some inquiries, but I wouldn't like to confirm. I do believe we have got some hockey on there, but just off the top of my head, I can't remember what's on the booking form.
Future priorities for us. There is some report. There are some items in your report about outreach that we've done in section 7. But as the chair mentioned, this is what we did last year. And to be fair, you've probably seen us around at the certain activities within the borough. I think it's probably more important for me to have a chat through what we're trying to achieve this year, really. And and clearly, when we're here this time last year, we had a rather robust conversation with swimming clubs, I should imagine.
Interesting.
So clearly we're working with both swimming clubs. I've been at Rydell Pool today to have a chat with Nikki, our operations manager, to see how the relationship is with the club, which she said is very positive. And I think from that we are trying just to rebuild and re-engage ourselves with the local community. To make sure that we have a good reputation within both Norton and Pickering, and also then, you know, build further with clubs and stakeholders, including obviously Rydell Sports Centre and the activities that go on the new pitch. We have, in conjunction with the council, got a new community engagement plan which looks at sporting activity and how to make sure we can increase physical activity within the borough as well. And I think the final point is we need to maximise that pitch. But as Kev has said, it's a multi-purpose pitch, which is great, which means that we can use a variety of different activities on there, and it's not just limited to one individual sport, as it would be if it was one of the new football-funded 3G posh pitches like you might have in your back garden. They haven't got that in the back garden, have they, Kev? No.
Not yet.
And I do believe there's a hockey club up there. I think there's one already up there. And that was part of the reason why we had to change the pitch. Otherwise, we're going to lose them to Scarborough, I think. Off the top of my head.
That was my memory.
Yeah, that was my memory as well. So I think for us, I think we've got some fabulous facilities. We've done quite a bit of work to make sure they're well maintained. We've got the right gym equipment in them. We've looked at the gym equipment at Derwent. We've got the right colleagues there with the right training. It's now just trying to get more people to use those facilities and get them in. So that's about a number of things, isn't it? It's about marketing, it's about price, it's about working with the council and our partners to get people into those to use them. So that's the priority this year. Any questions we'll take?
Well, were you waving, Will?
I'm interested in what the facilities that the buildings provide are very specific. Yes? How does that engagement with the wider activity of sporting things that are going on in my network in terms of things that you don't do specifically but that you know are going on, how you might be able to work in with them to encourage spin-off?
I think that's the challenge for us. So at the minute, I think since we've been within the district, we've done well at engaging people to come into the individual facilities. But there needs to be a wider partnership of providers of activity to try to increase the levels within the borough, doesn't it? Or the district, I should say. I've been at a meeting in Middlesbrough yesterday. Middlesbrough keep calling themselves a city. I don't think Middlesbrough is a city, is it? No, they keep referring to us. And therefore, but you've got some key players, haven't you? So you've got within Moulton, you've got sporting activity and dry side activity and a 3G pitch. You've got Ampleforth has got sporting facilities and a college. And it's how we link up with all of those things together. Now, I don't know if there's any, some districts and boroughs have sporting partnership groups where all the different providers all sit round together. So that would be one area that we could have a look at to work together.
I think what we're trying to achieve with the sports development plan is making it meaningful and the actionable points where we're starting at the beginning again with things like there used to be a sports partnership council, which was made up of all clubs, anyone interested in sport, things like that. That's no longer there and it's not been for a long time. So one of the actions on the sports and community engagement plan, which I'd encourage you to have a look at, I think that will be a public document or it will be about somewhere, is to have a meeting and invite all the clubs, local clubs, to a central location and start looking at a database or a directory of phone numbers of key people, and then we can look at training, safeguarding, CPD points. I think facilities-wise, we are quite limited in what we've got. So Derwent, for intra, is a gym and a pool. If it's not gym and a pool, we can't do it at Derwent. The sports centre is a bit more flexible, and we can use things like roller skating. It's a usable space, and as alluded to with the multi-sports for the pitch, leisure centres nowadays need to be flexible. The more areas that you've got that you can do different things with, the type of bookings we take can be massively diverse. So as an instance, we in some of our other centres we have car boots on a Sunday morning, we have functions on an evening, we have I've had remote control cars, I've had drone flying, we've had all sorts of different stuff, railway model trains, and people want those centres for that, which lend itself well. The second part of it, the engagement plan, is around specific engagements for specific sports, such as triathlon, as running, biathlon, which become archery, tri-golf. Some of it's linked to health, where it's more about absolutely minor things like throwing a frisbee on a field, and someone that's got a sedentary lifestyle or is in a hard-to-reach, low-income area or things like that, can we give them an entry-level activity that can you know, reduce obesity and get them fit. So absolutely yes. I suppose it's the first steps really, but that plan is probably the place to start. And as we start ticking some of these easy actions off to sort of create these links and create this database of people, we're trying to make people more aware of what centres are around and what activities are available. Things like climbing. We've got a climbing wall in Rydale. I don't know if anyone knows, but it's massively underutilised for a niche, specific, you know, fantastic facility that you'd have to probably travel 40 miles.
Yeah. So. That was fascinating because the climbing wall in York has a waiting list all the time.
Yeah.
My daughter uses, and she can't get on half the time. She wants to get on because it's already fully booked. So, I mean, there's the appetite for it. It's just about moving people, isn't it?
Yeah. When we did the funding for that climbing wall, we were told it would produce a queue, and I don't know why it hasn't produced a queue. But, you know, it's there. Taking back to going back to your point about linking up sports organisations, and the list at the beginning of your document is a good start, but I suspect Rydale's got a longer list, but it may be more out of date. And I would be more than happy to help to convene or to chair or to whatever else that sort of a meeting, if you like, with all the organisations to try and give that a boost, because I think it's a brilliant idea. There used to be a sports thing, can you remember, Robert? There used to be a sports organisation across Rydale, and that's going back probably more than the 10 years I asked you earlier. I think it's going back nearer 15, that one. But there was. Yeah, they think there was. I think there was. But whether it was council listed or whether it was some enthusiast, a lot of these things are all a couple of enthusiasts somewhere, and then when one retires or one leaves the planet or the district, it grinds to a halt. But I think that is a brilliant idea, and would the council could host it. I'm happy to chair it. Or
we'd welcome a chair. I think because we don't want to be seen as competing in this environment, we're all trying to work for the same thing, which is to get more people active. To have someone who's independent to pull that together would be very useful.
That's one of the things that I wasn't going to say, but yes, I mean, we have links with the Dry Sports Centre at Malton too, and obviously more than links, but working in partnership with you, etc. But you two are in competition, and it's you've got this nice partnership and cooperative working and competition all can get a bit interesting on occasions.
Absolutely.
And I would have thought you're right, that it would be useful. Now, when and how and whatever will be up to Becky, and then I'll chuck in any ideas if I can help. But I'm more than happy to host that.
That'd be fantastic, thank you.
Yeah. Where would you got to? Any questions? Any further questions?
Question time.
Were you waving at all? Just
I was pleased to hear that you said that you seem to have a better working relationship with the swimming clubs. It's probably not in the remit of this report, but is there any indication yet as whether your swimming training is actually feeding into the swimming clubs at all?
That's a good question. I can certainly report back through the officers on how many people are joining the swimming club. I think sometimes it is difficult to quantify, as in they don't necessarily come through us, but they'll just go and automatically go and join the swimming club. But no, we can certainly find out. Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing for us is there is a, you know, I call it something, it's called a pathway, that once a child has learned to swim to a good standard, if they then want to take that further, become the next, I was going to say David Wilkie, but it's going back a bit, next Duncan Goodhue or Rebecca Adlington, then that isn't for us. That's not what we do. They go to a swimming club and they learn to swim competitively and they do swimming galas. So that is a pathway that we encourage. There's a number of different other pathways. If you've got bigger facilities, it might be synchronised swimming, it might be water polo, it might be diving. Clearly, we really struggle within our two facilities to do that in Rydale. So it is competitive swimming, and it is to Derwent Valley or Rydale Swimming Club. So, we can find some figures out for it, absolutely. So yeah, I suppose, is it in my interest to send them along? Absolutely, because they're customers, aren't they, in our facilities? Yeah. And the more people that go to the club, the more sustainable the club is. So, yeah, absolutely.
And that's another indication of how far we have moved in a year. That you're now looking at that, and you were before, yeah. But now everybody around the room is nodding rather than scratching their heads and wondering. And that's absolutely a massive improvement.
Thank you.
Can I ask a further question that's just popped up in here? I've got a figure here on, I think it's page 4 in your book, but this last year you said the numbers of people using were 240,071, and I'm impressed with that sort of accuracy out of 240,000 down to the last one.
Yep.
But what was this year's figure? Have I missed it?
No, it was two. No, it's right at the top. We're 212,342. That's before we took over. So yeah, we are down on last year's figure. I suppose I did have a look at some figures before we started our contract with Rydale District Council, and just for comparison, so when we started in Derwent, the year before we started, there was 52,000 visits by the previous operator. And this year we've done 83.
I was going to say something like 150, 160.
Yeah. So we're disappointed we're down at 212 because part of our remit is to get people active.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think, you know, we've all read the press and the newspapers over the last year. That does have an effect, and it does have an effect on people visiting. Numbers are better this year, and I think with more collaborative working with a wider partnership, then we expect to see things improve again.
You've answered my next question, which was where do you see this year fitting between? Do you see it's fitting between that 212 and the 240, in other words, moving back up again? And you've answered it, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. John?
I suppose a number of things, really. I suppose access-wise was probably the first question. So, yes, there's hoists to get people within the water and gym equipment that is accessible as well for people with disabilities. Depends what type. Vast subject there. We could talk for quite a while. Then regarding about people wanting to be, you know, Olympians, I suppose it would depend on what it was. Would that be necessary? It might be the swimming club might be the best place for the next Ellie Simmons. May not be, we'd have a chat with that customer. And then I suppose as a wider scheme, we operate a sporting champion scheme, which is a national scheme that everyone active runs. It's headed up by Colin Jackson. Daley Thompson's just joined that scheme. And then we provide a number of different tiers depending on the ability of the athlete. So a gold athlete gets £5,000 worth of sponsorship. They get invited to training talks on strength and conditioning, nutrition, how to deal with the press and social media, which is a bizarre thing, but that's what they get. And then we've got a silver and a bronze scheme. And I think off the top of my head, Kev, we've got one person in Rydale on the silver scheme with a £1,000 sponsorship, and we've got a number of bronze athletes that get free access. So, yeah, it's important. It's part of it, isn't it? I mean, we want to get everybody active, as in the general population, because the biggest benefits for exercise are those who do no exercise. That's the biggest benefit for someone doing no exercise to do a little bit is fantastic. But the top end's important as well. Fantastic.
Yeah. And which category do you fit into?
The elite.
None up to doing a little, or the elite?
Definitely not heading for the elite. Thank you.
I think this gentleman's our silver sponsored athlete.
I think you hide your past sporting things. past sporting record is hidden, but you were at a very high level at one point. Were you not? Gosh. Right. Is there anything else anybody else has got? Any other questions?
Just following that. I've missed it, I apologise.
Yeah, well, I had one of those, so follow me in missing it.
The demographics questions, is that tracking? If you're going to say yes, I know what you are, so the next question is it changing? And if I've missed it, I apologise.
I don't think it is changing at the minute, demographics. I think the most difficult age groups to engage is 11 to 15 year olds. That's nothing specific to Rydale, that's a national trend. Most difficult, you know, they're out of swimming lessons, they are busy at school, social life's kicking in, social media's kicking in. That is the most difficult, and if we could crack that in Rydale and crack it nationally, we'll all be millionaires, won't we?
I thought the fall off in sport was when people left school, i.e. 16 upwards.
No, I think you're 11 to 15. Yeah, there is the next group, 16 to 24 years, difficult, but often people then are re-engaging back within activity. So 11 to 15 bit.
Hmm. Any more for any more? No, I think you've exhausted the questioning. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you. We'll see you. Well, maybe not this time next year. Maybe a few months earlier.
Maybe a few months earlier. And don't forget the offer. Cheers, both. Don't forget the offer we've made if you want to use it. Yeah. Lovely. No, thank you both. And we won't insist on you staying to the end of the scrutiny meeting out of respect and excitement.
Thank you.
Oh, I wasn't including you, John. Put in the middle of the back. Oh, he came to the wrong meeting. He didn't mean to come here.
Really?
Right. Does anybody need a quick comfort break, or are we all fit and happy to carry on? No, nobody wants to. Right, fine. I knew there was something. They've gone now. We need to, in the report from Everyone Active, there is their, I can't remember what it's called, community activity document, plan, whatever. And it needs to be looked at. I don't think it's been to a committee. Can anybody help me on that one?
Sorry. The community activity plan is actually one of the requirements in the leisure specification that Everyone Active has, but I think we will look into if we need to get that approved, and then we'll bring it back to the relevant place for that to happen.
My suspicion is that we need to approve it, because if you take one glance at that, Rydale District Council Active Community Plan 2018 to 2023 looks very much just like our plan, and therefore, you know, we would be responsible for it outside. And I think scrutiny ought to, when the office have had a dig through it, have a look through it, and then recommend it forward. I've got nothing wrong with it. I just think it needs to go through the council's process as well as Everyone Active's. Can we do some minute to ensure that that happens to that extent? Because we're not making a decision unless we want to. Do we want anybody want to take a vote on that, or should we just do it? No, are we all happy with that? Right. Is the enthusiasm from scrutiny spreading out into Malton, or is it? Oh, yeah. Yes, right. Remind me what that is when we come to it, because I've forgotten. Right. draft terms of reference, scrutiny review of governance arrangements, item 8. Becky, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Members will recall in June when we met, it was agreed that the next topic for the scrutiny review would be the governance arrangements for the shared services with County Council, covering human resources, and you've had the, some information around that this evening. The Section 151 Officer and Financial Services and the Chief Executive. Since then, we've had three task groups to come up with what's in front of you this evening, which is the draft terms of reference for this review. And the task group has prioritised two areas, the first being the HR, where the service level agreements are already in place with the County Council. And then we'll look at the other areas once the agreements have been finalised. And then depending on timing, there is a view that consideration is given to coming up with a generic framework for any future agreements the Council enters into for future service delivery models. The draft terms of reference are attached to the report. I'm happy to take any questions. We're seeking agreement of the terms of reference so we can commence with the review this evening.
Okay, this is a fairly good discussion. Has anybody got anything to add or remove or will?
Sorry, John, if I just may.
Please do.
I just really want to say that I think the meetings that have taken place on this have been incredibly useful, and I think they'll serve the council well going forward. So I'm very happy to throw my weight, even though I am a stone and a half less than I used to be.
Is that in 3 days or not?
Oh, not that long.
No.
Behind them. I think it's part of a change that I think will be very positive for the council going forward in the way we do things.
Thank you. Well, I think we've had a problem with this because when we kicked off, there appeared to be no governance, and probably technically at the point of kicking off there was no governance. But the governance has been happening as we've been looking into what the governance was, and we had a nice wire crossing tonight because Justine was asking us what we would like from that service, and two or three of us got confused as to we were looking at what the governance of it was, and I add myself to that list of those who thought, well, we're looking at the governance. No, we're not. That was a positive contribution that was coming in saying, what do you want from the service? So, yes, I found those meetings useful, but they are interesting to keep under control because we have to make sure that we end up looking at those three areas of governance and then moving on to a framework, because if we're not careful, we could end up, I think it was your thought, or yours or Jeff's, that we could end up going far too detailed. On the other hand, if it's all been set up, now is the chance to look at it and ask the awkward questions. So, no, thank you to all those who were there. Shall I move the acceptance of those terms of reference? And can we vote on it, please? You second it, will you, Ed? Thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. And that may happen. It may happen with this one. It's so alive and fluid, but at least it shows we might want to be actually on the ball with the job. Now, the next thing that's not on here, I don't think there's anything else you have, Mr. Becky.
Not on this topic, no.
Other than on this topic, we need to fix up the next task group. Can we do it now so that we don't end up chasing across the car park? Thanks, Joy. Bye. any, are
we,
you know,
thinking of,
I don't know, 10 days time, fortnight's time. Don't want to leave it too long because otherwise the things drift. That would take us to the 16th, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the week commences the 16th.
Unless there's anything in the council meeting, is there anything on the Thursday or any other evening?
No, the Thursday is a clear week, actually, on the council calendar.
Shall we go for the Thursday, the 18th of October? Is fortnight's time suitable? This is too organised and efficient. I'm sorry about that. I'm not normally like this. Will's playing his diary. Right, okay, what about the Wednesday? No, I've got two no's and a whatever.
Tuesday the 16th.
Tuesday I could do at 5 o'clock. I must be left at 7. Is that too early? The only trouble is it does tend to exclude Di, but we haven't had even apologies for tonight. Shall we go for 5 o'clock on the Tuesday? How does that suit you, Ed? Jeff?
That's okay with me, yeah.
Will? Wonderful.
So it sort of focuses your mind if you
have
to
be
away for half past
7
as well.
Yeah, my mind doesn't need any focusing whatsoever with your assistance there. I'm not allowed to wander off focus.
I wrote 7 down, or 7:30, yeah.
Well, that was being kind to it. Yeah, all right.
Dear. I think he's applying for the vice chair role, Jeff. The two of you can be one either side of me, keeping me under control. Right, is that item now finished?
Yeah.
Good. Sorry?
It was unanimous.
Yeah, and it was the vote was unanimous. Sorry. Next one, delivering the council plan. Questions, comments, thoughts, bewilderments?
This is where there's a question for full council, isn't it?
It's where there's a motion for full council.
Sorry,
yes. I'm saying that because, and can I just give you a little bit of background, probably, because it is relevant. The motion came from two stray Liberals, then one disappeared, and I ended up seconding it. It was brought in and shown to officers saying, if you don't like it, we won't do it. We're just trying to help to tidy the thing up. And I think it's fair to say, Becky, that everybody was happy with what we were putting forward. Because what happens at the moment is that you can get reds and ambers in this lot, and you might get an officer's report or an officer's comment, but nothing then, in inverted commas, happens. And that motion is designed to, it might not work, is designed to say, right, if you have two oranges in a row or two reds, then it will have an officer's report come to scrutiny or whichever other committee appropriate, and then have an officer's report and a recommendation with it, so that we can try and do something about whatever the problem is. That's the theory behind that. And I think the beginning, and Becky will remind me, I think the beginning of the motion says, recognising the progress that's been made so far. So it's not critical, because I think in the last 15 months we've come a long way in this, and it's vastly improving, but it's still got a little bit of way to go. And just to cheer everybody up, we may decide to put in from tonight some of the HR monitoring figures, of which we have had none before. So you could have in there, and this is off the top of my head, and you know, it's just a thought, you know, number of any department with more than 15%, i.e. 1 in 6 or whatever it is, short. So if planning had three people out of eight missing, it would be highlighted in there. And then we'd be saying, what's needed, Gary? What can we do to help? And are we needing to put a premium on wages for planners or whatever? Rather than find out that something isn't happening in planning, because we've also found out because there is a shortage. I'm not picking, if you're listening to this tape, Gary, I'm not picking on you. I'm just following up the theme from earlier on when we were looking at planning being an example. So that motion fits in. Is there anything else anybody wants to cover from these? Yes, please, Becky.
If I could just say that I feel like what is being put to council is good timing, because the reports that are in front of you this evening are as a result of the work that we've done with you over the last year as a committee.
Yep.
To give us an annual performance report and then the position in year. So the timing of looking at what else we need into this report, I think, couldn't be better. Just a comment from me.
And could I add to that, Becky saying that, I think, needs to be in some sort of a report with each of these figures at the beginning of it, so that it isn't a question of looking through. There should be recommend, which our motion will tend to pick up, but it will also have an officer's report in there, yeah, and saying we apologise because such and things, but the moon landing landed on the same day as when we would have had the figures. Whatever the reasonings are, will be down there in the report. So just to keep in the tradition of hundreds of years of scrutiny, I think we note the report, do we not? Those in favour or those disagreeing with, can we vote on noting the report?
Do we normally vote on noting a report?
Yes. Well, we could note on, we could note of whatever else it's called, it's called here. There's another contender, Jeff, here to try and keep me in place. I don't like the sound of this at all. We could note the delivery of the council plan, if you'd like us to cancel the previous vote. No.
Well, we've voted.
Yeah, I know, but Ed's now sort of putting in a minor protest. We've ignored it completely in the past on occasions. Are you happy with proceedings, Councillor Cousins? David? Are you're happy with proceedings? Oh, good. At least I've got one person in here that's happy. That's encouraging. Right. LGO annual review letter. That's the local government ombudsman. Any comments or whatever in relation to that? I didn't read that till this afternoon.
Will can give you a summary if you...
Will, would you like to? Sorry. Shouldn't do that.
Thank you. The local government ombudsman letter comes once a year. It's an annual letter. And during the year of 2017-18... there was 11 complaints received to the Ombudsman. And you can see it set out on page 275, the sort of criteria that they go through. So there was 11 complaints or inquiries received, of which they made decisions on 9, and they are set out on page 277, so just over the page. The most important bit, I suppose, in terms of the work of the local government Ombudsman is the black section detailed investigations. So from the nine complaints that were taken forward, they did a detailed investigation on just one, and that resulted in a not upheld decision. And you can see there was one incomplete, four were referred back for local resolution, so that means it went to the Ombudsman and they referred it back to us, generally because it's not gone through our complaints procedure. and then three were closed after their initial inquiries by the Ombudsman. Just in terms of the annual letter, just one point I wanted to make was the section on supporting local scrutiny, which details some information for councillors and for officers that may help going forward. So there's a web address to have a look at if you wish to find out more information on the work of the Ombudsman and how they put together their data and decision statements. So I suppose the headline fact is the fact that we only had one detailed investigation and it was not upheld over the course of the last year.
Any comments, questions, thought? And thank you, Will. That probably pissed off the tape. I've got one, and that is, and I don't know, did we all get, or was I just fortunate this month, I got a copy of First, the local government magazine. You've had it, so that sounds as though it's probably done round. There was an article by the local government ombudsman in there, and it might be worth us seeing if we can, I'll bring it in if you can't find it.
It's called what, sorry, John?
It was an article in First. Yeah. And it might be worth sending out. It virtually said here, and I think what he was underlining, which he says in the letter here, that complaints are not bad news, they are good news. You know, in effect, that if you handle complaints properly, you can be sorting out problems that are beyond, because that one person has come forward means there may well be something wrong with whatever you're doing, and if you can sort that one person out, you're then sorting out for others. Now, I may be putting words into his mouth, but that was the message I got.
I think what I think, too, was that if you don't get a complaint, it might just be an indication that you haven't dealt with them, because nobody will send them in.
Yes, well, that's the same sort of type of message, isn't it? But it's another strand to it. But it's worth a read. And there is a training there in there on handling complaints, and I don't know whether we ought to be asking for that or whether we don't have enough complaints to need training, but if officers think we do or there is, that's something to mention in the direction of HR when they get themselves settled in here, because I'm not convinced as to how much of a training budget we have in here. And the one way to keep officers happy, one of the ways to keep officers happy is for training, so that people see things as they can do their jobs better qualified, and they can learn about things that they would not normally necessarily get the chance to learn. I think it's one of the areas we ought to do. I don't think it's the time to start looking into that now, because HR is all changing. I think we've hardly got a training budget, and we're not spending it. Yeah, okay. Right. Do we note the local ombudsman's report, or welcome it, or thank him for it, or? You see, we need an officer's report here to tell us what to do. Note it. Those four are against. He'd be very upset if we were against noting it, wouldn't he? That looks unanimous again. Customer complaints, page 281. Now, is that your department again, Will? Some technical fault.
Thank you. This is the complaints data that has been received by the Council from the 1st of April 2018 through to the 30th of June 2018. So there were 6 customer complaints made that went through the system in a variety of service areas. It was a recommendation from the committee, I think it was probably this time last year, to try and expand on some of the information that's contained in the report. So tried to do that where possible, I suppose it kind of goes back to what you were just saying in the previous item, but we have had a low number of complaints in this first quarter. How you read into that is probably either or, but certainly, I mean, the complaints that we've had one that's been an initial complaint, which is a stage one complaint, so it's answered within 5 working days, the complainant gets a response. They can then come back to the council and say they're not happy with the response, in which case it goes to a formal complaint, which relates to 5 of these complaints, where it's then looked into by a lead officer, and they're given a response. Then the person can then decide whether to go to the ombudsman further investigation.
You said earlier, Will, that those 4, and I read it as those 4 in the ombudsman's, were ones that where the public had gone to the ombudsman. And I thought, well, the ombudsman's not doing an accurate job here, because what happens if the ombudsman takes one of the complaints that we've already dealt with, haven't done it right, but on the other hand there's something wrong or whatever else, just refers it back and says, look, right, I'll sort it out. And those must happen on some occasion, not just an assumption that all 4 have just gone down the wrong route. Is that right, or am I making it up?
It can be, I suppose it can be either or, really. It can be that they've gone to the ombudsman straight away, in which case he would send them back to us because we're the local council. But it could also be that once they've gone through our complaints procedure and then they're referred, and that's a proper referral to the ombudsman. So that wouldn't be included in those 4.
Wouldn't be included in those 4 if he sent it back to us and said, do it again.
No.
Right, thanks. We switched it off now. Is there anything further we need to do on that? Thank you for the expansion on what we had. I think the other thing we asked was, if possible, but this may be the computer, that most of us travel from left to right on the graphs, and you or the computer, or maybe both, appear to travel from the future back to the present. Am I still misunderstanding something? Is Dr. Thornton wrong, or are you quietly ignoring yourself, giving us a job to do?
In this case, he's right.
In this case, Dr. Thornton is right. I shall make a note of that. Thank you very much, Will. Do we need to note those as well? Can't see where it says we need to do that, but I think it would be probably a good idea if we did. We thank the officer and note them. And that's unanimous. And not to be minuted, and next year we ask him to put the ears round the other way again. Thanks, Will. Much appreciated. CFPS, is that your department, Becky, or...?
I can cover that if you'd like me to.
I would like you to, if possible.
The paper that's attached with the agenda tonight has been sent out to the committee for any comments. I'm not aware we've had any comments back. We haven't had a committee since we received the paper from the Centre for Public Scrutiny. Members may recall that we did actually formally respond to some consultation on this over a year ago, which I think you've also had in the papers. And the plan is for officers to produce a response in consultation with the chair and vice chair. But obviously, if there's anything you'd like to feed into that, please do. And we'll be doing that, I'd like to think, next week.
Thanks, Becky. I think the same thing with this is the speed at which it's been asked to be done is, again, questionable. And I can't remember which meeting it was, and maybe Becky or one of you two can help my memory. But officers were asking for What do we do when we get very short deadlines and timescales for consultations? And my response was, if they are ludicrously short, just tell those that are consulting we're not prepared to comment, because rushing through a response at speed and thinking about it afterwards is not the way to do it. And there's a large number of responses of things come through on the 7th of the month, and we get it out to members by the 12th of the month, and they want it back by the 20-something or whatever. And that is a ludicrous time. It's expecting officers to be and members to be sitting there waiting for a consultation to arrive and jumping on it. So my suggestion to whoever it was that I was asked was, can you please just go back to them and say, look, if you do it at ridiculous timescales, because we don't meet every week, can you please allow for that in your timescales? It might be fine if you have got an executive and you're a county council and the executive meets every Tuesday. You can react to some of those. We don't. So that was what I fed in, but I can't remember where I fed it into now. Are you happy with what we're doing with that one, that the chair and the vice chair will put in a response for it? Unless anybody wants to add anything to that. Or if you want to contact Jeff and myself in the next couple of days, give us a yell on it. And if not, we'll try and put something in. I don't think we need to take a vote on that, because we haven't done it yet. Right. Scrutiny Review's progress report. Becky?
Thank you, Chair. Again, this is a standing item on the committee agenda. And the annex gives you an update on the scrutiny reviews. There's very little to report, actually, in terms of any updates on any of the reviews, because the work is either complete or ongoing. We'll update this progress report for the scrutiny review into the governance arrangements with the County Council's services for the next meeting.
Thank you, Becky. I was just checking here. We note the progress report for previous scrutiny review recommendations, and I think that covers it all. We have still got the bullying one that is outstanding, but that can't move, which I explained in long and boring detail at full council. And I apologise that it looks as though next Thursday you'll have to listen again to why that has is stuck in the sand at the moment. And I will do my best to answer the question for the fourth time without showing any signs of irritation or annoyance or any other weaknesses. Has anybody anything to add to that before we note the progress? Yes, please, Jeff.
Yeah, just one thing. I know regarding everybody active who's just been here, I think the decisions that we made, to my surprise, seems to have been the right ones, and they've accepted the criticism. In the respect that I haven't heard them coming back wanting some money, for a better word. or is that still in abeyance?
I think tonight was very positive compared with a year ago, and I think we should leave it at that.
What I'm saying is that we seem to have achieved something. It seems to have achieved something, let's put it
that way. I have offered tonight to work with them on an area that they're wanting to work on, and I hope the council will be able to, as free of charge as it were, the use of this room, and we'll find some way of providing coffee and biscuits for however many turn up, etc., so as to be able to help that working together forward, because it should be. And it is unfortunate that we came, for their point of view, that we came down one way round. But if we'd come round the other way round, it would have been unfortunate for the other side. And we had to look at all the evidence, and I think we made a fair decision. And we could do no more on that evidence. So, have we got down to note? I don't think we've voted on that yet, have we? That's unanimous. Thank you, gentlemen. We've now got an additional paper on the decisions from P&R on the 27th of September. Have we all received that, looked at it, or whatever else is required? Have we any comments from anybody? Right, is that everybody? I have one concern, and my concern is that I don't want to call it in, which would mean another meeting of this committee, and it would mean another meeting of P&R, because I think it can be sorted. And that is that the Resources Working Party, and the top of page 2, it says the Resources Working Party held on the 13th, the recommendations be approved. And one of those recommendations was in fact a decision, and a decision in relation to charging the parishes. So in effect, the P&R committee asked for a consultation. The consultation came back to the council, got as far as the Resources Working Party, and then went no further. It did not get back to P&R. That, in my book, is not the right way to do it according to the constitution. But I don't think it is worth having two extra meetings to try and sort it out. I think Simon's done a... If you read out, Simon, what you've got in either of your two microphones.
When we'd had a discussion about this, there'd been a suggestion about how to address the concern without having call-in process and lots of extra meetings. And one suggestion was that... officers be asked to produce written terms of reference for Resources Working Party for consideration and adoption by P&R, which would provide clarity about its role in the future.
Thank you, Simon. I think that would solve it, but it's up to you.
I think you're right, John. I think it would solve it. And I think it's all part of this process, isn't it, of just making sure that we've got written down
Yes. What
we do.
Yes.
So it all fits in with what we're doing. And I think it's another example of this is something else that, because of this, has been solved. So I think it's positive rather than negative if we do it that way, if that makes
sense. Well, that's I looked at that and sort of gently burst into tears, as it were, on the basis of, oh, no. And my first reaction was just to ignore it and leave it. And I thought, no, because it's got to be done right for the long term. So that is an issue I suspect that nobody's in favour of, and it, in the discussion in Resources Working, it was unanimous that it wasn't worth following up. Some of us thought that before it started, but that's another matter. But that could have been a major issue that had a quarter or a third of the council wanting or not wanting, whatever it was, and that would have been a big crisis and a hoo-ha. And this, hopefully, will make the P&R look at its terms of reference for the Resources Working Party, draw them up and remove the problem. So can we take Simon's wording there as read? And I would like to move it. Have I got a seconder? Thank you, Will. And that looks unanimous to me as well.
Just for clarification from my side, does that mean that this is the position going forwards? So we accept that what's happened, and now we're moving forwards onto.
That was my view, but if you feel against it, please, taken the vote, please consider it, because although we've taken that vote, it doesn't preclude us from doing anything else if we want to.
No, all I was going to say was that I seem to recall at the meeting there was quite a lot of discussion about not just whether P&R was asking for information and therefore should be ratifying it. It went right the way across the board. If the council asked for something of P&R or scrutiny or whatever, we should be reporting back, and that whoever institutes the request should have the responsibility for signing it off.
Exactly. Mm. And that isn't what happened, and it should be what happened. Yeah. And it is also, to some extent, unfair on officers, because officers come forward with a proposal. We need to do this to save that, to create that, to whatever else. A committee says, that's a good idea, we'll do this with it. And then it doesn't get even back to the committee where the officer is. So it's untidy. I don't think it's important in this case. I haven't come across anybody who thinks it's a good idea. So to that extent, it's not going to do any harm by not following it up. I couldn't possibly comment, but it may meet the year after next. Didn't meet last year, isn't meeting this year, could meet the year after this, if possible. Anybody got anything else? I think the only item I've got left on here is urgent business, and I have no items of urgent business unless anybody else has. No, in which case I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much. It's been a long meeting, very long, but we've covered a lot of ground, and I think if you look back at this meeting last year, it was of similar length, but not longer. It was it longer could well have been, but didn't quite have the positive result.